Miner AngloGold Ashanti delivered solid annual results today. That's as headline earnings per share surged over sevenfold to $0.53, fueled by lower amortization after the closure and sale of some of its assets, as well as higher income from its Kibali operations. We're joined on the line now by CEO Calvin Dushniski for more perspective on the numbers out today. Calvin, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So the headlines have centered around you tightening your grip and warranted, where it's exactly that that's yielding results right now. But it also sends a certain message when the results come on the back of AngloGold exiting South Africa. Is there any other way to interpret that than mining in South Africa is just not viable and a South Africa exit pays off?
Well, Alicia, first of all, thank you for having me. And in respect of South Africa, we should be clear. You know, we're running the Mponeng mine and the tailing surface facilities, and I'm very pleased with how those assets are running. Mponeng in particular, a very good asset, has excellent infrastructure, it has grade, and it's a very large reserve base. And really importantly, I think the restructuring that's happened around that asset over the last 2 years has now positioned it such that in the third quarter of last year, we were free cash flow positive. Likewise, as we went through the end of the year, and we expect to be in the same position in 2019. So we're going to continue to work on the cost structure, and it's a great asset. We'll continue to progress it forward.
Does that scupper your listing plans in either London or Toronto, which is part of which started the conversations on AngloGold Ashanti exiting South Africa completely?
You know, there's been speculation around listing plans in London, Toronto, or elsewhere, but I have to tell you, we are focused on what's in front of us. We have lots of work to do with the portfolio. You never say never, and we've been clear on that. But for the moment, we have our hands full. We have a big year planned in front of us, which includes the Obuasi project, which we're going to be bringing on stream this year, progressing projects through our pipeline, focusing on driving down costs across the business. So lots of work to do. Our hands are full, and that's where we're focused.
Calvin, I guess illustrating just that is the fact that while you've closed Tautona, you've sold Moab Khotsong and Kopanang last year as well, but part of the rationalization now sees you putting one of your Argentinian mines on the chopping block too, along with Sadiola in Mali as well. So where exactly are you on this rationalization agenda, whittling away at what you've described as a very asset-heavy portfolio?
Well, with respect to Sadiola, which we announced in the third quarter, and then today we announced the process for divesting potentially the Argentine asset, I really want to make a point, which is both of those assets have been strong contributors to the company's portfolio. Argentina in particular, I think we've been 25 years operating there, and it's been an asset which has generated significant cash flow and has a bright future. The reason we've identified it as a candidate for potential divestment is when you look at it, it's a single asset in a jurisdiction where we're not likely to be investing more. And so what we've articulated is a strategy where we're going to focus in areas where we've got a critical mass and we can see ourselves investing into the future. But at the same time, I want to also be clear that in respect of both those assets, they're good assets, and if we don't see full value surface for them as we go through this process, we're also perfectly content to hold them, and we'll continue to operate them for some time into the future.
Okay, so you're emphatic about the fact that there will be no fire sales at this stage. What kind of interest are you managing to garner from the market? I mean, what kind of appetite is there for assets like this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, but I've been through these processes before in other companies, and what you find for good quality assets, particularly assets where there's prospectivity, there's always a market for it. There's always a buyer. I liken it to real estate. If you have a good house in a good neighborhood, real estate markets go up and down, but you tend to find a buyer.
Okay, so optimistic on that front. It's all happening, of course, as you focus on low-cost mining to pull you down the cost curve at the end of the day. What impact is all of this starting to have, Calvin, on your cost line, and what are some of the targets you've set further down the road?
Well, I think that's one of the things that we reported on this morning, and we're quite pleased that across the portfolio, our all-in sustaining costs came in below $1,000 an ounce, which is encouraging. So we're steadily moving down the cost curve. To give you a general sense, You know, we've moved from midpoint in the industry cost curve to into the second quartile. And where we'd like to see ourselves as we move out over the next 2 or 3 years is in the upper quartile, the first quartile of costs. And as we bring in lower cost production from mines like Obuasi, as Kibali is continuing to fire in all cylinders, Geita, which is a solid asset, and others, and as we apply our operational efficiency program across the portfolio, that's our target. We want to be a top quartile producer.
Of course, investors want to know if earnings like what you've presented today are in fact sustainable, bearing in mind that there is somewhat of a low base effect to take into consideration here.
Well, as far as earnings, where we're focused, Alicia, is to continue to drive margin. And what we're seeing is as we apply the efficiency programs we have in place, and as some of the investments that we made over the last few years, for example, a combination plant at Siguiri, the enhanced recovery enhancement program at Sunrise Dam in Australia. And as some of these initiatives start to kick in this year, next year, and as we go forward, coupled with, again, the Obuasi's coming into production, we do see the ability to continue to generate these kind of earnings. And if we have a supportive gold price, I think that the future is bright for us.
Well, let's leave it there. Calvin, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Calvin Dushniski, who's CEO of AngloGold Ashanti.